Thank you, David. The funny thing is, I'm really not going to mention most of these names in my message. Most of them are mentioned here and here alone, and they are important to Paul, and they ought to be important to us, but in some regards, the names are not as important. And I wanted to frame this message relating to Thanksgiving. A few days ago, we as a nation and as a culture celebrated Thanksgiving, a thoroughly American, North American holiday. It's a celebration that has its roots roughly 40 miles from here, 40 miles south on Route 3. You can go to Plymouth Plantation. Nearly 400 years ago, in 1621, pilgrims who had survived the harsh winter learned how to farm from the Native Americans like Squanto, enjoyed a bountiful harvest. Edward Winslow, a pilgrim, wrote in a letter at the time, "God be praised. We had an increase of Indian corn, and by the goodness of God, we are so far from want." As Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High." As the winter approached, the pilgrims gave thanks for the harvest. And as winter approached, Paul, literally and figuratively, gives thanks to the Lord for a number of good reasons. The first reason is found in 2 Timothy 4:17. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that my message, that through me the message might be proclaimed, and all the Gentiles hear it." The Lord gave me strength. You can turn the next slide. Because thank the Lord for his restoration. "The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." Now, why did Paul need strength? Well, it's all the names that David has read for us this morning. He had problems within his ministry team, including dealing with departures. Some of them left the faith. Demas, for example, one of his ministry team that went from Ephesus to Rome, left, departed. Some of them left the area for ministry's sake. Crescens and Titus and Tychicus left to go various places. But as Paul says, there is no one here. All have left, all have departed, all have gone. Some went because they left the faith. Some went because the ministry called them elsewhere. Paul needed strength to deal with the relational issues of life. Dealing with defections, Alexander is mentioned here. The metalworker did me great harm, Paul writes. Defectors, not only departers, but defectors, people who intentionally came with him and then went wrong and started to cause mischief and difficulty, hooliganism. And if that weren't enough, people leaving, people switching sides, you also have someone like Trophimus, who was sick. In verse 20. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. It's physical illness. There's people leaving, people changing sides. It's difficult. Paul needed strength to withstand the difficulties of life. But he also needed strength to continue the work of God. He says also in verse 17 that it's all for the good. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He was strengthened so that the message might be fully proclaimed. Now, we don't think about struggles as a means to proclaiming the gospel. We don't think of difficulties in relationships and how we handle them as avenues for evangelism. But Paul did. He was strengthened so that every Gentile would hear it. He looked at his difficulty sitting in a prison cell or under house arrest in Rome and said to himself, "This is so that the gospel can be further proclaimed." In other places, in other letters, he looks at his suffering as a means to sharing the gospel with those who would hold him captive. And what is true for Paul is true for us, that we ought to be thanking the Lord that he gives his followers an equipping strength. He strengthened us to endure difficulties. Some of us had physical difficulties, relational difficulties, societal difficulties this year, and the Lord stood by our side and gave us strength. Not only so that we could be shored up, but he gave us strength so that we could continue to proclaim the gospel in the midst of trying times. And even when it's one standing alone, as Paul was proclaiming here. In my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. It was me alone. But even that, God stood with me, rescued me, provided for me, strengthened me so that the gospel might be proclaimed. It has not been an easy year. Personally, for many of us, politically, for many of us, spiritually, for many of us, educationally, for some of us, it's not been an easy year. But we can rest in the sureness, as Paul rested in the sureness. The Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. He's given us strength both to endure hardship and extend the gospel's reach. And we are grateful for the strength that God provides. Verse 18. Well, the end of verse 17. You might have noticed if you were reading the NIV that David said, "And I was rescued from the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me," because these words are exactly the same word in the end of 17 and 18. "I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." The second thing we ought to be thanking the Lord for, which Paul thanked, thank the Lord for his redemption. Back. Thank you. Verse 18. "The Lord will rescue me." Now, why did Paul need rescuing? Well, he needed deliverance from attacks in the present. Verse 17. "I was delivered from the lion's mouth." Now, some people may argue that the lion's mouth was you know, the lion is the king of the jungle, and therefore somehow the rulers of Rome, the emperor and his battalions have caused Paul mischief. I don't think that's the case. Because most, if not all the time that the lion's mouth is mentioned in the scriptures, it is an earthly present danger. And what Paul is saying here is, God has delivered me from every human danger, every earthly danger. I was in extreme danger. And you can look in the book of Acts, shipwrecked and beaten to within an inch of his life, hungry, thirsty, no place to live, imprisoned, beaten, persecuted. He has faced every danger and God has rescued him from them, delivered him from them. He's been delivered from the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me or deliver me from every evil attack in the world to come. And this is the exact same terminology as the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Paul uses the exact same term for deliver and evil. Repeating the words of the Lord that God's prayer, Jesus' prayer, when he taught his disciples to pray, was to deliver us from evil. Paul is going to be delivered from the attacks of the evil one. And he'll need deliverance to gain access to the heavenly kingdom. We cannot do it ourselves. We need to thank the Lord just as Paul did, because he grants his followers a timely rescue. He enables us to avoid and escape danger. John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We are going to face times when there is a thief that is going to steal and kill and destroy. But we have been given by God a means of maintaining our lives, not just now, but forever. And he enables us to enter into the heavenly kingdom. John 14:2-6. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and take you to be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we ought to be also praising God for his deliverance, his rescue, his deliverance now from the dangers of life. How many times we have no clue how many times we have been rescued, removed from danger. Part of the joy that we have is not knowing all the things that God has spared us from enduring. And granted, we have endured some things and we need God's strength, but there are things that we have not been called to endure because God has delivered them from us, delivered us from them. And ultimately, God will deliver us from this earthly place and enable us to enter into the heavenly realms. He has given us a rescue for this life and the next, and we are grateful. The final mention of the Lord is in verse 22, which says, "The Lord be with your spirit." Grace be with you. And the last thing we ought to do is thank God, thank the Lord for His relationship. The Lord be with your spirit. And why did Paul mention this relationship? Because our hope is his hope comes from our connection with God. John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. What a joy it is that the Lord is with our spirit. In a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. And God was with us on this planet for 33 or so years. And upon, or just before, God's departure from earth, He promises that when He leaves us, He will not abandon us. He will not leave us as orphans, but He will send the Advocate, the Paraclete, the one called alongside, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and will remind us of everything that Christ has told. The Advocate, the Guide, the Counselor, the Director. He is our teacher and will remind us of all truth. And we ought to be thanking the Lord, for He gives His followers His abiding presence. For the first half of the Bible, first two-thirds of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was temporal, was circumstantial, was situational. That the Holy Spirit would come upon an individual for a purpose and then depart as soon as the task was done. And God's people were led by the leading of the Spirit in fits and spurts. But then Jesus came and He promised to give us, not just for a moment, not just situationally or circumstantially, but for all time and forever, as a guarantee, as a seal, as a down payment for that eternal life that we have in Christ. He was to give us the Holy Spirit who would dwell within us, who would be with us at all times, to bring us comfort, to bring us conviction. And we often think of conviction as a bad thing. Oh, they've been convicted of a crime. But conviction is both a positive and a negative, in the sense that it brings our awareness of sin. We have been convicted, we have been reminded, we have been taught, and we are now confirming in our spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that what we have done is wrong and worthy of punishment. But conviction is also a firm belief and a trust in the facts of the gospel, that that sin has been dealt with through Christ. Because we know, as Jesus has declared, that He will teach you all things and remind you of everything that Christ has said. Certainly, teaching of Christ, teaching of the Scriptures, is that we are sinners. But it also declares that all who trust in Him will be saved. It's an awareness of sin and an acceptance of His grace. And we ought to give thanks and praise to Him for His abiding presence to remind us when we stray and to restore us to rightness. He has given us the promise of His presence, and we are grateful. Our sermon in a sentence is this: give thanks to the Lord for equipping us for everything. We ought to be giving thanks to the Lord because He gives us everything we need for everything we need to do. He equips us by strengthening us for the tough times. He equips us by rescuing us from evil. He equips us by being with us through every season. Part of this passage of Scripture tells us that Paul wanted his coat because the winter was coming. Wanted his cloak because the winter was coming. And as the winter was arriving, Paul is reminded of the gifts of the Lord. And we're not sure if this is a seasonal reminder or this is a mortal reminder. Either way works. Paul is facing the winter of his life, but he's also facing the winter time. For us, we don't know. Do we really? What season we are currently in? We may think we're in the springtime of our lives. We may think we're in the summer of our lives. We may think we're in the winter of our lives, and we still have a long way to go. Paul's looking back and saying, through it all, the Lord has stood by my side and given me strength. Through it all, the Lord has rescued me from every evil thing. Through it all, the Lord is with me. He'll provide all we need for life and godliness. By the goodness of God, we are far from want. So whether you're facing the coldness of abandonment, the coldness of heart, the coldness of sin, the coldness of death, know that the Lord is with you. Know that the Lord will restore you and rescue you and relate for all times with you. It's good to remember the faithfulness of our God who cares for our every concern. And it's good to give thanks to the Lord for equipping us for everything. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together.